5:25 on the drive. Not the announcer. Well, the other announcer. Well, never mind. It is 5:25 on your Monday drive. Time for our segment, Justice Gone Wild, with attorney Michael Fumara. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
I'm so glad you like it super cold like I do, because otherwise you'd be not comfortable right now.
Chills the bones. It feels
good.
Yeah,
that's about 36 degrees, I think. It's just the way I like it.
Same here.
I like being on the radio when you can see my breath, even though the audience can't. But anyway, every week we do, I love the name of the segment, by the way, Justice Gone Wild. And we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk, reflect on the decision of Jill Ravitch as it pertains to the Andy Lopez case and the sheriff's deputy who shot Andy Lopez. Lots to talk about. We're going to talk about a civilian police oversight agency, a mental health response advisory committee, all sorts of different things. And when it comes to this situation with Andy Lopez, we had Santa Rosa City Council member Erin Carlstrom in the studio last hour, and she is one of the co-chairs of the task force that has one more meeting. They've already sent a letter to the Santa Rosa, the rest of the city council, and they're going to deliver that on December 2nd to the members of the council who are leaving, and then it's going to the new members when they get sworn in on the 2nd. You're turning your nose up.
Where are we? Where's the public? How come we haven't been informed? That's the big issue, I think. It's transparency. It's that whole city council.
Yeah,
and
it's
the
all about transparency. But they did have hearings. I mean, they invited the public to a lot of their
I also
sessions.
Know, too, but that it was the city manager, city attorney, who told everyone to shut down the city hall. Yeah. Demonstrations coming. Just shut down the freedom of speech and freedom to petition your government. So
that's one of the things that kicked this off and created the task force.
Well, let's hope so. Who's on the task force? That's the issue. Who was handpicked? That's what I look at.
Well, yeah, and I don't have the names in front of me, but I asked Erin if she thought, because it was supposed to be a very diverse cross-section of citizens, and she believed that ultimately it was. And they did a lot of public input. But you're still turning up your nose.
I'm still in shock, because I'll be real plain with you and very straightforward. I think that these people are picked in back rooms. I don't think there's this big emphasis on getting a very diverse group. I've even asked a few times for other people to get on the committees for the Andy Lopez inquiry, and I even spoke to Ms. Gorin, who is now my supervisor in Fountain Grove. It reaches up there to that area now.
Yeah.
And I got no response. I just think it's people that are going to be placating the system and not bucking it, not really digging deep.
Well, we'll find out. Their recommendations so far include a sunshine ordinance, and we'll get more into it, but
they don't have to go far. Albuquerque, New Mexico, came up with quite a few very good, straightforward ways to make this a better process. And, you know, they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can go to places that have a diverse population like ours and a city of our size or even larger and get some ideas. These elected officials don't have to spend hundreds of thousands on these studies every time we turn around and spend our taxpayer money. There's things that have been done in that work.
All right. 5:29 on the drive. Michael Fumara is with us. Longtime Santa Rosa attorney. The segment's called Justice Gone Wild. Your calls are welcome at any time at 636-1350. Our bottom of the hour news break. And we'll be back with the full segment of Justice Gone Wild with Michael Fumara on the drive.
It's time for Justice Gone Wild with Michael Fumara.
Yes, yes it is. Thank you, Blair. Brought to you by the Fumara Law Firm in Santa Rosa. Michael, before we start into more serious I didn't mean to say that, because this is serious as hell, but it's hard to believe. You brought this up, and I saw this today. I was reading a book, watching CNN, and I happened to look up, and there was a crawl, as there is always, a constant crawl on the bottom of the screen, and it said something like 17,000 kids have been poisoned, not dead, but poisoned or gotten sick from eating these detergent pods that you throw not only into the dishwasher, but into the laundry. They make these little pods, these little tiny things, and apparently they're brightly colored as far as part of the marketing, and they look like they could be candy, and kids are putting them in their mouth, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with these parents that they would have this stuff anywhere near a where a child could get it? And
we just did this big fundraiser for the California Parenting Institute. It's right. Parents that need to put these pods, these wonderfully beautiful detergent pods that do clean your laundry. But one child did die out of the 17,000 reports from the poison control department. The CDC and a few other departments reported 17,000 calls, and one kid died because.
And it would have been much worse if they didn't taste so bad. As I'm sure the kid puts it in his mouth, chews it, and then spits it out. But what if you swallowed one of those? Probably.
It's squishy, and it looks like a toy or candy because it's very appealing.
What is wrong with these parents?
They're not monitoring the children. So if any of the commuters are coming or are going home, the first thing they should do is run over to the laundry section of their house and start to remove those pods and put them on higher shelving.
Duh. it's crazy. I couldn't believe that when I saw that today. I use those in the dishwasher.
Yeah, same here.
My kid's 25, and he doesn't live with me. My dog's not going to go after him. But I keep them, under the sink, where no child could get to them.
Well, what if you have a visiting grandson or, a cousin or some crawling toddler? So you have to just be mindful, that's all.
Yeah. That's astounded me today. It shocked me. All right. Last month, Michael Finney wrote about this at ABC7News.com. Let me quote the first part of the paragraph. Scores of homeowners have been waiting 18 months for a decision from the Sonoma County District Attorney's Office. Despite the lengthy investigation, prosecutors concluded the case was not in their jurisdiction and the decision has some of the alleged victims miffed. And we're talking about Sonoma County DA Jill Ravitch's decision not to charge Eric Gelhaus, the deputy who shot Andy Lopez, over a year ago. Go ahead.
Don't even get me started.
I'm getting
this
you started.
This is really an outrageous situation. It was Channel 7, Mike Finney on your side, put together a really good all-telling article. If anyone wants to look at it, they can go to, even my Facebook has it. And I've published it and republished it several times, but it's the biggest fraud that we've ever had, mortgage fraud ever in this county's history.
I was wrong in alluding to the Lopez case. We're going to talk about that. But explain the mortgage fraud thing is.
Yeah, this mortgage fraud is a jurisdictional issue that the DA said it was not in her jurisdictional site. And therefore, even though Mr. Miguel Angel Lopez, the culprit who was selling these mortgages or actually modifying them, lives in Petaluma, the business is in the county of Sonoma, and the State Department of Justice turned over all the evidence to Jill Ravitch, who spent 18 months looking it over and doing research and investigation, a lot of investigation for 18 months, probably spent millions of our dollars. And then what happens is she turns it over to the state attorney general, that's Kamala Harris, which means that all that time effort's gone, but she didn't do that when it came to the Lopez case. That case, she held onto the jurisdiction and rendered a decision that many people are very unhappy with, including myself, because of the expert that was hired, because of the length of the investigation, and the decision was made right after the election, which was no surprise.
Mm-hmm. So again, what was the outcome of this mortgage fraud situation?
Nothing. We don't even know if it did, if the state attorney general's office has actually taken it up, because many of these people are victims losing their homes. Several of them said they are divorced. One person said it's misconduct or prosecutorial misconduct. There were a lot of angry people, and I'd advise everybody to look at this little clipping because it really tells a story. It tells a story about why is some of these areas of the law under the jurisdiction of the DA and others are not. This political decision in the Gelhaus / Andy Lopez case should have never, ever been decided by this district attorney's office, and I'm not the only one that feels this way.
So, yeah, you believe it should have been sent to Sacramento and Kamala Harris,
absolutely,
the attorney general.
And a jury. Also, we have a process here. It's the grand jury process. A little bit of a transparency, a dash of that would have been really nice for a change.
You have some thoughts on how to help heal the community in the aftermath of the Lopez shooting, which we celebrated, didn't celebrate, but marked the first anniversary last month.
This community one of
them,
needs a lot.
Yeah. One of them is not put the cop who did it back on the street.
No.
He has he been retrained? There's no evidence of that, you ask.
That's right.
What are some of the steps we need to take?
Well, there's a lot of steps that other communities have taken, and one of them, and we've been asking since the Civil Rights Commission came here in the early 90s when I was here in Santa Rosa and practicing law, and that was a civilian police oversight agency. Develop a mechanism that promotes ongoing, and I mean ongoing, community participation, which includes developing this implementation of this civilian police oversight agency. It's one that San Francisco has and other smaller cities, and I think we're about ready to have that happen. But also, what about developing and implementing a mental health response advisory committee and pairing up with providers, hospitals, the National Association of Mental Illnesses, NAMI, that's NAMI in Santa Rosa. I work with them with many of my mental health clients who have found themselves in the jails. That's just two ways. And then there's more. There's forming community policing councils. And that's not really hard to do. That's community policing partnerships, holding meetings. And I'm talking about ongoing periodic community meetings so that the reporting is done on a systematic basis. Santa Rosa and the county's progress are all in the paper online where we can all access it. And then we can develop a prototype for investigating police abuse and or deaths of, let's say, other incidents like the Gelhouse incident. Instead of continuing with this county or this sheriff, which investigates the city police, that's Santa Rosa PD, and vice versa, a lack of trust and credibility has arisen by this longstanding and cozy relationship. You rub my back and I will rub yours. That doesn't work. People really want to see a change. There has to be something more professional than that. Why not send it to Novato or a different police station or a different police agency? Then there's the public involvement and our investment in technology. Every communication between the public and civilians recorded by audio. Why not? It's not expensive. I think public-private partnerships would pay for that, but it has to be high-quality video camera. Full transparency will clear all. That's what I say, but maybe some people disagree, and that's fine. I like disagreement. And any other future police killing should go through the grand jury process or be immediately sent to the state attorney general's office to avoid the appearance of impropriety and to avoid the conflict of interest, which I think Jill Ravitch's office really exemplified. She always said Stephen Posilock was so political. I've never seen anyone so political in my life. I was just at a fundraiser luncheon, and instead of Wes Winter speaking for the Family Justice Center, she spoke, and her name wasn't even there. It was because she wanted to introduce a prominent civil attorney who probably contributed to her campaign. I know politics. I was involved since I was a little boy. My father would take me to court, to the politicians' homes, Republicans, Democrats. It didn't matter. So I know it, smell it, taste it, and I can see it where it is.
Now, there is a task force that early next year will be submitting its findings. They worked for, 9 months so far. They'll be submitting their findings and their recommendations to the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. I believe it's a 29-member task force. And they have been, with public input, going over all these points that you're making as far as transparency and community policing.
I'll see it when I believe it.
Well, we have to wait until these 29 people, with the public input, I'm anxious to see this, their recommendations, which will go to the Board of Supervisors sometime early next year.
You know, I've seen many good grand jury reports also go to the Board of Supervisors with very little implementation. It's the will that really counts here in the county, and we have to have a will. Maybe the newer generation, maybe the newly elected officials will see to that. Maybe they'll get beyond what has been the politics of inaction and the politics of just unfairness and injustice and justice gone wild, because it is wild. It's like the Wild West here. When I tell people I live in Santa Rosa, they go, isn't that where that little kid was murdered? Really? That doesn't bode well with me.
Yeah. Now, you have mentioned let's see, public, this is some notes you sent me today, public investment to fund the technology necessary to have every communication between the police and civilians recorded by audio, high-quality video camera. They are starting, in fact, some Santa Rosa police members have paid for their own cameras that go on the front of
their
uniform.
Well, that's very worthy. I'm really glad to hear that.
But they're looking into that. That's one of the recommendations I know from the task force to outfit all cops, be it sheriffs or PD, with these cameras.
Well, that's a good first start, and also applying for grants. I mean, there's federal and state grants for this, and I hope our city staff and politicians are doing that, because it would save us money, and it's well worth it. We really have a problem
that
here.
Way the citizens aren't paying. We're not paying for everything.
Well, the taxes are high enough. I sound like a Republican now, but maybe I am in cloak and dagger. I don't know.
I don't think so. Michael Fumara is with us. We call the segment Justice Gone Wild.
Thank you. There's also one other thing, too, that I wanted to bring up, is that the deputy suspended for slapping a man. If you go to the Press Democrat and see that there was a man who was actually slapped, that's all. He wasn't killing anybody. He didn't stab anyone. The police officer just slapped another individual, and guess what happened to him? He got suspended because his friend took video camera footage of that slapping. And so I'm just thinking out loud that maybe if we have some more surveillance of all kinds, and not only from the people but from the police themselves, then it saves them too. It saves them a lot of trouble. I know they don't want to deal with all this heartache either, but we have to have clear just clarity and open policing. That's the best way to do it.
Do we have to go to the legislature or legislate locally on the idea that one department of law enforcement shouldn't investigate another department when it comes to situations like the Lopez killing, that it should go by law automatically either to the state attorney general's office or the grand jury?
I mean, yeah, there's no other way, because if it's still the same as when there's a Santa Rosa police officer who kills or injured someone and it goes to the sheriff, then there's a certain amount of I'll rub your back or scratch your back if you scratch mine. People assume that. People think that. They have a right to think that. Because why is it the same process in place all these years? Why not give it to a different agency, like somewhere out of the county or out of the Bay Area? Someone that would have a really clear and non-biased approach. That's what we really need. People really have to have a belief in their process, and I certainly don't think it works with this sort of the same thing happening every time.
Yeah, and you know, in the Ravitch case with the Lopez and Eric Gelhouse, I'm not going to comment I don't know what was going through her mind and why she wouldn't send it to the grand jury or the state attorney general's office. But whether she was right or wrong, the fact is, as you've stated, the majority, it seems to me, of citizens get a weird feeling and think that something is up. First off, you've got the decision not being made until after the election. The fact that the sheriff was a political supporter of the district attorney.
Right, Fred.
So whether it's true or not, right, people get that idea that there's got to be something more going on. It's got to be totally political. You know. Which is not good, whether it's right or wrong.
No, it's not. And I also understand that there's been a complaint to the Civil Rights Division at the state level, and I think there's an investigation ongoing. There's a few disgruntled citizens and a group of attorneys. I happen to know that there is a letter that had been sent to the U.S. Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division. I also know that there is an ongoing investigation, but what they look for is a pattern of excessive physical force by local and in this case it would be local police officers and governmental employees of the police, et cetera, et cetera. But that's going to only happen if There's a whole pattern, and I would argue that there's been a pattern here for many, many years. There's been so many police-related deaths. I think there were 11 or 12 in a two-year period, and then before that there was a whole...
For an area this size of Sonoma County, exactly. Is outrageous.
It is it's beyond outrageous. It's no other country would tolerate something like this. In Greece, when there was one shooting of a small boy, maybe he was 14 or 15, the whole country rioted, and police cars were overturned, and the country went into total meltdown because they don't tolerate killing their own people. And we have more people in our jails and prisons than anywhere else too, so we tolerate a lot. We're not bad people. We just have a bad government and a bad system. It needs to be improved. There's a lot of money going out to that. It should be going to education and other things. That's what
speaking of that money and politics, talk about last Tuesday.
Oh wow, that was a red sea. I called it the red poisonous sea. It was almost like the red tide that came in and killed all the abalone in Sonoma County. And then, of course, the people that come up here and fish are all called poachers. And you find a victim, blame the victim. In this case, I hate to say it, but it was pretty much like that. Very depressing. That's because very few people really came out. The numbers were low. And those who came out were generally older, more conservative, and not the new, you know, younger generation voters who voted for Obama, who voted for change. It was older, more conservative people. Look, Sawyer got elected. Another police officer got elected to our city. Measure O will never be changed. It will just have to spend all of our money on police and fire, and lights will be out. City will be dark. Other services will be cut. But police and fire, you know, get paid to get dressed, get paid for this, get large pensions and payoffs. That's how it's going to be. It's the people voted for what they're going to get, and they're going to get what they deserve and what they voted for, unless it's changed.
Aaron Carlstrom was in the studio with us today, as she often is, and she, of course, was not up for re-election. But following Aaron Carlstrom, we talked to Paul Gullickson, editorial director from the Press Democrat, and he and I had a discussion on who we thought would be the next mayor of Santa Rosa, and we both agreed it's probably Aaron Carlstrom, and she will be the swing vote. What are your thoughts? When you came in before we went on the air, right. you mentioned to me, too, not knowing that Aaron was in the studio earlier, that she would most likely become the mayor.
Right. I mean, that's been speculated upon for many, many months, maybe years, because when she ran and then ran unsuccessfully for another position, my thinking was that she was there for either mayorship or for another higher position. And her husband's a political junkie / consultant, and they also tried to push Crocker in, and that would have really enabled her to go a lot further and a lot more. She would have definitely gotten the mayorship in that close relationship. So I just see this inbred system of, let's see, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. It's a system of not about the city, it's not about the people. If it was, we'd have district elections, and people in each quadrant would have something to say about their little city or part of the city, which I think is a good idea because it costs too much money to run. You have to be very wealthy or well-connected
yep.
to the politicians and big money bags from outside the area, like what happened with Gore. I mean, he trumped over Deborah Fudge. That was pretty surprising, but not surprising considering the money. So yeah. It's really an eye-opener. I think I'm really disillusioned right now, and I feel like a lot of people, this is...
A lot of us are.
Yeah, when smoke clears, I'm going to see a lot of damage, a lot of destroyed buildings, a lot of wreckage, they say, as in Europe after the war. It's not good. It's not good.
We have to take one last look at traffic with Michael Green. Let's do that. We'll be back. Michael Fumara is here. We call the segment Justice Gone Wild. When are you going to bring my friend Stefan Passalacqua in? I know you do a lot of work with him.
We do. And Stefan, if you're listening, you're going to be invited as soon as possible. But I know you're working so hard on your wine law and doing all the things that public governmental agents do so well. I mean, he was a fine politician and a great district attorney. I thought he did a good job, except there's just one area I didn't like, and I'm honest enough to say it. I think the bishop should have been put in jail for that molestation charge. I really think he should have gone to jail. And that's the end of it.
What did happen to him?
He got a diversion program because he was a first-time offender, and it's true, he was. I remember talking to Christine Cook, who's still there, and it's true, he was a first-time offender, and he did say that, you know, Jesus went to jail, and Jesus, you know, suffered, and we all know that. I grew up as a Catholic, communion, confirmation, all that, but he went on and on to just do a pre-diversion program. He didn't even have to show up in court with his robes and finery, but I have nothing against the bishop. I mean, I really do believe. I just think that it was a bad mistake and it let this guy Ochoa get away. And now who knows what the heck he's doing in Mexico or in some cave or dead, or we don't know. It's all a mystery now. But a bad experience for the kids who were molested and who were brutalized and who were mistreated by this this priest.
And that was on Stefan's watch, yeah.
It was on Stefan's watch, but I'm not going to hold it against him. I don't hold grudges. I really don't. It's not like I dislike anyone at the DA's office. They do a hard, they work hard. They, they're adversaries to us. We do criminal defense, so they do the other part of it. They represent the state or the people. Sometimes they seem to exceed that by personal vendettas, but I don't let that bother me. I think it makes it more exciting, and I try to be as professional and nice and a lot more demure in the courtroom than I am here. It's just that this cold iced box here that you call 1350 KSRO is it is like chilled to death here.
Yes, indeed. I dress for it every day. You notice I've got a t-shirt, a shirt, a sport coat. I'm ready.
I have a coat. It's zipped up.
Try a parka next week.
I will, and gloves.
I look forward to next week. And also, I want to get you to tell a couple of stories from the past again about some of the cases that you've dealt with. Those are fascinating. We'll talk about that.
All right,
Michael Fiumara, Fiumara.com, FIUMARA, Justice Gone Wild. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow
night,
on The Drive.